you want to fight? Do you want to fight?
Stop. Stop being so mean.
What's up? I'm the Mad Chronically Ill Girl, and I'm your host, Sonya D. And I'm chronically upset today. You know why? My lupus is flaring pretty bad right now, but what else is new? But it's time for your chronically ill and disability news report, starting now. The Syrian disability rights activist Nujeen Mustafa will brief the United Nations Security Council today on the situation for people with disabilities in Syria, the Human Rights Watch noted. This will be the first time the Security Council had formal consideration of the rights of people with disabilities who are caught up in armed conflict. Mustafa is the first person with a disability to formally brief the Security Council and one of the very few Syrians given an invitation since the Syrian conflict began in 2011. She fled Syria at 16 years old and now she's 20, traveling the world to advocate for people with disabilities. We wish her well. But enough of that today. We have with us a special guest, the very first guest of the Mad Chronically Ill Girl podcast, Joya Scott.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Joya. How are you?
I'm fine, and you? Thank you for asking.
She's 29 years old. She's a mom of three, and she's been a CNA for 2.5 years. And she has some very interesting stories to tell us. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What made you interested in this kind of work?
Oh, well, first and foremost,
girl, what's wrong? Why are you coughing?
Dust.
Can we get her some water? What made you interested in being a CNA? Like, what got you started?
Well, to be honest with you, at first I wanted to be a dentist, but, being with my grandfather before he passed my dad's father, he just always said that I was more of a people's person and people really don't care about their teeth. So I should probably be going to the nursing field. And so, I want to go into it or anything. I want to do people's teeth. I like a pretty smile. And he said, well, I think the turnover rate with health and someone's going to always need a nurse and someone's going to always need a doctor and someone's going to always need a person, a helping hand. I want to be there for you, should go into the nursing field. So here it is. Grandpa has been passed now for about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, skip it. So I'm coming to the nursing field.
So he said people don't care about their teeth, so you might as well go into the nursing field.
And then showed me his teeth.
Wow.
Showed me his teeth. They were all in a manila folder.
In a folder. Now I'm thinking she means showing the teeth. And in his mouth, he's showing you the teeth in a folder.
In a folder.
Wow, that's amazing.
Like he was going to ship them away.
Now, do you plan to further your career within home health care, or is this something else? Is this just a pit stop on the way?
I don't want to get, how can I say this? I don't want to stay as a CNA. I would like to progress into something more. Of course, the steps, LPN, RE, nurse practitioner, doctor. But I also was thinking about going into occupational therapy.
Okay.
I was thinking about going into that as well. Just having something under my belt. So that's missing. Why not get it all?
Okay. Well, can you explain us exactly what it is that you do?
Okay, so... when I introduce myself to you, I get the feel for you when I go to the homes. I see if you get the feel for me, if you like me. I do what you ask me to do. Now, I bathe. Not only am I a CNA, but I'm also like a social worker too, in a way. And just like they interact with me, everyone interacts with me, I like to interact with them. Keep everything positive and friendly. But it's better for both of us. I clean, I cook. I bathe, I wash, I make doctor's appointments, I even give medicine. I'm soon they qualify. I administer medicine. And if need be, I go to doctor's appointments with them, shoulder to talk to, that person to talk to, the person to lean on. I get calls in the middle of the night, calls during the day, on off days, where am I? And I grow a bond with everyone, a special bond, and I love it.
What about when people think of you as a glorified maid? What do you have to say about that?
You know what? When they look at me like that, after it reality hits me with, you know what? Slavery isn't dead. Racism isn't dead. Just being a maid isn't dead. It's still very much aware and alive. I get angry, but you know, that's part of, you know, this is the job. This is the pros and the cons with it. You get some that actually follow by the book. You get some that just take advantage of it. You get some that just don't give a damn. They want to have their way.
But just to make it clear for everyone, what is the difference between you and a maid?
You know what? To be honest with you, until now, I never thought about it until now. The only difference between me and a maid is, the only difference between myself and a maid is, I wipe an ass. A maid doesn't. I do that. A maid doesn't, I don't think she's going to be happy with, or he, with wiping you and bathing you. Doctor's appointment, it's a lot. It's a lot more than just clean up. I feel like a CNA actually is a mixture in between a maid and a worker and a social worker. I feel like we know the patients better than anyone else, better than the RAs, better than the LPs, better than the doctors. We're there every day or every other day, and we actually see what's going on. We look at the skin. We look at your, if you're declining or if you're increasing or whatever. We look at all of it, and we're the person, the people that, report to the doctors or the nurses.
Well, what are some misconceptions that people have of you? Like, do people think
that I'm a maid?
Okay.
That I'm a maid and not a CNA. I think they care more about their homes and you get enough, don't get me wrong, you get some that really care about you. But for the most part, the ones that I have had, I want to say out of the 10 people I've had in home health care, out of those 10, maybe 7 of them think I'm a maid.
So you think that people should see you as part of their medical team and not just this person that comes into their home and clean and wash the dishes?
Not just, you know, Rosie Jetson. Yeah. Right. I feel like you should see me as more than just a person that comes to clean your home. And, you know, I have a life, too. I have feelings, too. Just because it's my job, it doesn't mean that I don't have feelings. You know, I have a hard time too. Life happens with me too. I need you to understand that we both live two different lives. That's why I try to get most of them to see. We both live two different lives, and I have a life outside of this. And I have children too, little children. So it's even harder with little children.
I bet.
It's even harder.
Well, can you tell us, could you share with us, like, what is the worst thing that has happened to you on the job? Like, can you share with us a story? No names. Can you share with us maybe a few stories that you can?
Sure, I got a lot of them.
Okay. What's the worst?
I have the worst. I had a lady whose daughter sat in a closet and harassed me. She jumped out. I came in, I was 3 minutes late. And actually, I wasn't even 3 minutes late. Couldn't get a grace period. But to her, I was 3 minutes late. Jumped out the closet. A chair in the middle of the closet, like she moved the Vandross. You know what I'm saying? Sitting there with a drawstring, like she's about to sing Nas One Mic or something. She's sitting there and she just jumps out. Yeah, 3 minutes late. And so, the natural, you know, anybody, you're going to come to your self defense, you're going to buck up with the person. Mm-hmm. And she's just going off. Her mom is in the room, like, what is going on? And this lady looks at me in my face, calls the police, and screams, oh, she beat me up. Oh, she's beating me up now. She's running through the house. She's going crazy. And I look like a rat in the house, like a mouse.
So she's like lying because you haven't touched her.
Never touched
her. To be clear.
Never touched
she's
her.
Lying, and she's going to call the police and say that you hit her.
She just had a problem with me for from the beginning.
And you did nothing to this one?
Nothing. It was a big thing because my mother had dementia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't understand. They have voices too, but, you know, you have to think about it. When they're having episodes too, you want to think about that as well. You know, you leave me in the home with your mother who has dementia. You're in South Carolina, North Carolina. This is where you live, but you're here every 3 weeks. And your mother, I make you come in the room and tell your mother I'm here. And your mother tell me, okay. And 5 minutes later, she's calling you telling you I'm not there. She didn't see me. Mm. And you have noticed this behavior yourself. So you're aware of this behavior. And for you to tell me, oh, well, mom said you haven't been here. Or mom said you haven't been getting addressed. I haven't been getting addressed, but how has she been getting to daycare, adult daycare? What about medicine? Your son hasn't been down here. Your cousins haven't been down here. It's me. But now you can call the daycare if you like to see who's there when the bus driver's coming to pick her up. And you just didn't want to do that. It was just too much like, right? You just wanted to pick a fight with me. That's it. That's all. And then the last straw when she threw the cup with the spit.
So she threw a cup.
A Burger King cup with spit. A
Burger King size. A large Burger King size cup of spit at you.
I think it was the little regular one. Not the regular one.
Medium, small, yeah, medium, kid size. No, it don't matter. Kids,
it was nasty. And it smelled like shit.
Oh, my goodness. And what happened, I'm sure, when the police got there?
When the police got there, I mean, at the time when she was going off, even her son came downstairs. And her son was sitting there looking. I had to call my boss. And I had to tell my boss, this lady's going crazy. She's talking about beating her up. She's calling the police. I don't know what to do. She's not letting me leave the house. She's in front of the doors. The other door is locked. I don't know what to do. I had to stay on the phone with my boss. Her son, which is the lady's grandson, as well, he said, Mom, what are you doing? She's not doing no such thing. And this lady, I mean, was screaming in the phone, saying I was beating her up. I was attacking her. I mean, I was scared, especially being in Indiana.
I bet.
It's scary. And the only thing I could think about was getting out that house, and I wanted to bust the window, but something told me, don't bust the window. Because then she can use that as leverage to say, oh, see, she's busting the windows. Criminal damage to property now. To the home.
It's crazy that you were there to help this woman, her mother with dementia, and one moment you're there trying to figure out what you need to do for the day, and the next moment you're figuring, well, if I can just bust the window, I can get out of here. I mean, that's just insanity when you're there to do a job.
A job. And you're here to take care of, you know, unfortunately, you know, her mother. And unfortunately, her mother didn't get that help that she needed due to the daughter.
So you left, of course. You never went back.
Oh, no, it gets better.
Oh, there's more to the story, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Called my boss. Told my boss everything that was going on. She was on the phone the whole time listening. The lady's son and grandson, he just sitting there like, what's going on? He doesn't know. He's telling me, I got your back. Don't worry about it. Just don't bust my window. I got you. Police get there. The lady, she smiles at him and she runs out the house. Wow. Oh, my God. I want her arrested. She attacked me. Oh, my God.
So she's lying again. The second day as you came back.
It was still the same setting. I never left this point. Okay. And the officer, thing is, I had an officer that actually sat there and listened and watched and looked at body language and looked for respirations and things like that, like as if he was a doctor. Mm. And she came out, she hit me, she attacked me. Now he seemed, like he said before, like he said later on down the line, he got her story, he got my story, and later on down the line, like he said, if she attacked you, when I looked at her, her clothing wasn't stretched, it wasn't torn. She came out perfectly fine, normal, breathing normal. You were breathing really, you know, out of control. Your respiration showed that, you know, you're being attacked or you're trying to fight your attacker off. Of course, you're going to, heart rate is jumping. And he got her story. And then he got the grandson's story and the grandmother's story. I got in the car, the police car at this point, because I had asked him, can I just get away from it? Can I get in the car? Mm-hmm. Get in the car. I still got my boss on the phone. Oh, my God, this day was crazy. Still got my boss on the phone. And police get back to the car. I'm telling him my story, and I let him know, like, my boss is on the phone. She heard the whole thing. He listens to what she's saying. And he pretty much put two and two together, and he went back to the lady and told her, like, you know what, we found out, you know, the story is inaccurate, pretty much, in so wow. many words. She, this lady, I mean, just went off, and he told her, you know, stay away. Don't come over here. She's here to help your mother, do a service for your mother, and you're making it really hard on her. Like, what's the problem? What's the big problem? She couldn't underline the problem. But, like, another close, you know, I consider her like a sister, mm-hmm. close friend. Only because I've been in her life for a short period of time, but it's like I feel like she's my sister, like she's been here forever. And when I came and told her the story, if you would have seen the look on her face, mm-hmm. and you would have just seen how worried she was, and let me have some reassurance that someone cares, someone actually cares. And then, like, she told me if I came to her home and I was doing a job for her, and someone attacked me and that man or did whatever, they wouldn't be allowed there. But just to know that with the patient, her daughter was still allowed there after the police told her don't come back. The mother still let her daughter come. And she was doing physical harm. All types of harm.
Crazy.
That's that one.
So that's probably the worst where you were.
Yeah, because at that point I felt like I didn't know what to do. It's like my mind was like all over the place. I felt like a mouse trapped on a glue trap. I didn't know what to do.
Well, you were physically attacked that time, mm-hmm. and you have to respond to that, obviously.
Yeah, and then you know what? The most crazy thing about it is you would think after my, like, you know, you get complaints and you report, you know, to your supervisor, your boss, whoever. And you would think they say, okay, well, we don't want you in harm's way, we're going to pull you off of that. No, these companies are greedy for the money. The owners are greedy for the money. And they will, by all means, put you out in the middle of whatever and say, the hell with it. It's out of their hands. As long as you get, you know, get the job done and they get that check. That's it. That's
basically
all.
It's just more so about the patient than it is about your safety and your well-being.
Yes. At that point, it's not even about the patient at this point. It's more so about what they're getting from the state, because they don't even care about the patients. The patients go to the hospitals, then they're supposed to get a nurse to come out here and assess them. A nurse never pops up. They just put you back on the case. Never call to see how the patient is doing. If the patient's still alive, never call to see how you're doing. Never call to see what the patient needs. Never even do a follow-up a checkup with the patient. Or even just stop in and say, oh, you know, I'm such and such from this company. How are you? And it, you know, it just makes you think. They don't care that much about you, period.
So would you say home health care in this state or even in this country is broken?
Yes, in this country it's just broken. It's not all for the patient. It's not. It's all about, okay, well, let's move this person to get this person. It's all about making their pockets fat. If you see the things in home health care, you see the things in nursing home, it's just... Not right.
I know there's some horror stories in those nursing homes.
It's not a place I would put my loved one. I wouldn't put my loved one. I wouldn't even put my worst enemy in that.
But you would think that, okay, if you don't want to put your loved ones in housing facilities that are run by the state primarily, that you would hope that home health care would be at least a better option. I mean, even though home health care has problems, would you at least still say that it's a better option than state-run nursing facilities?
You know what? I really couldn't tell you that. I'm like at a loss for words because they're both terrible. I don't think either one of them are great. Because you get people that you go to the homes and you don't know what you're dealing with. At least in a facility, you know, there's cameras here. There's staff, there's a lot of people around, witnesses. You go to the homes, it's just you and that person, whoever else. There's no cameras. You can't violate, you know, HIPAA. You can't violate OSHA. You can't. It's a lot of things you can't do. So it's like your pros and cons with it, with the nursing homes. You got some nurses that they're in cliques with the CNAs. And if you say something bad about one of the CNAs, oh, now you're into it with a lot of CNAs or a lot of nurses. You come to home health care, you tell your boss about your uncertainties and how uncomfortable you are with certain things, and it's like, oh, okay, we'll keep your mouth closed and still do the job, as long as you're not dead, pretty much.
Forgive the technical error that just happened a few moments ago. Some of the audio was cut off for a few moments, but so back to what we were saying. Okay, so I'm a chronically ill person. Okay, I've just come out of a hospital. I've just had like major surgery. I'm pretty weak, and my family is deciding what to do with me. What do you recommend? A nursing home or home health care, or should they try and work on another type of another alternative? What do you think would be better?
Me personally, I would always go with the home health care because of nursing facilities.
Okay.
Only because you can always get your family to come in, someone that you truly trust, okay, along with whatever facility comes in to help you, or whatever agency comes in to help you. You go to a nursing home after that, they have you on this one regimen. You're dealing with a million one people. You might be dealing with a new nurse or a new CNA that doesn't know that much about your care plan. They're only going based off what someone else is saying or that nurse is saying. And that nurse may not know that much about you. And now you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And then you have a new person dealing with you. And they're going to go based off what they think and what they feel. Now you have a different doctor coming in. Or you might have a different PT or OT coming in. You might have a different judgment, or the minute someone doesn't want to deal with you, especially a nurse in the nursing home, she feels like you're just belligerent and she does not want to deal with you. Whether you're healing properly or not, she will send you back to the hospital or recommend that you be moved somewhere else just so she doesn't have to deal with you. At least in your own home, you can rehabilitate on your own time, in your own comfort in your home.
Right.
You have family there, someone can get to you right away. Family are more likely to come to the home before they come to the nursing facility. That's because they know they can bypass a lot of the little things. Don't have to sign in. Don't have to go by certain rules. Come in and out when they feel like it. Whatever, you know, whatever they feel that they can't do in this facility, you know, they'll do it.
Well, as a chronically ill person, as a person with a disability, I use a wheelchair. It's sad to say that a lot of people don't have this. Like, I have family members that care about me. I have friends. They come by. They check on me. They do things. But a lot of people who come out the hospitals, as you know, don't have anyone that will come and check on them. And what my family does is that, you know, they have like a schedule. And my sister, my twin sister, you know, they may come over after work. They may cook a meal for me. My mom, you know, she's 78 years old. She'll come by. Enjoy. You know my mom very well. And she does what she can to help me, but a lot of people don't have that. And Joya, can you speak a little bit about some of your clients who don't have that extra support?
You know what? My clients that don't have that extra support, I try to be there as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are not out of 10 the ones that I have grown a bond with.
Okay.
And so I try to be there as much as possible, and I do everything from the heart. And you'll never hear me speak on it. If I help you, it's because I want to. It's different ways of doing things for people, and showing gratitude and appreciation and showing that you care. A simple hello or how are you doing today? It helps. It helps.
Right.
You know what? I just feel like the ones that don't. I try to be there as much as I just try to be there as much as possible. That's all I can pretty much say. I try to fill that void or whatever they have, or not as I said, I'm filling that void too, so that they're like my friends. I grow attached to them. Depends. They're like my friends. They're like family. They're like loved ones.
So if I could go here, if you don't mind, since you become so attached to these people, you must know that, of course, you know that they're ill. So how do you take it when they die?
Very hard. Very hard. Very hard. I had one that when I first came into the field, she was like another grandmother to me. She was awesome. And just to sit there and see her decline, and I feel like it could have been avoided so many different ways, her death, because I feel like her death just didn't sit right to me.
Mm-hmm.
She had a son. Now, this lady, now what touched me about her was she has been through a lot with the healthcare system. People stealing from her, family stealing from her, AIDS coming to steal from her, people taking advantage of her, fighting her, cussing at her, making their own, doing what they want, just pretty much not giving a damn about her.
Mm-hmm.
I came in, she was kind of skeptical when I first came in. But then I was kind of skeptical of her too. But we grew to know more about each other and love each other. She got attached to my children. I got attached to her. I got attached to her family.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until her son came into the picture. Now, this lady, she couldn't really have children. So she had no biological children. She had one. The baby passed.
Oh, okay.
So she got her husband, and he couldn't have any biological children. So they adopted 13 children. 13.
Wow.
He passed a couple of years back, and so it was just her. Mm-hmm. And those children that she got from crack homes, crack babies, abused, raped, all of it, these children have grown up, and they told me with their own mouth that she has been a damn good mother to them.
Wow.
And that's all they know, but they treat her like garbage. Like garbage, because they're too busy thinking about the other sibling, what the other sibling may be getting from her, or who's taking advantage of what, or why they can't use this, or why they can't use that, or why she have this sibling staying with her. But no one was willing to take time out of their busy life and schedule but this one son. Now, this one son, when I first met him, I thought he was nice. Okay, I was just seeing how he worked with her. But then when I started finding out a little bit more to him, he had a hidden agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And with him, what it was, he would see how much the mother was getting and the handicapped sister was getting. And seeing how much the rent was, seeing how much, like, you know, NIPSCO, because Indiana, we only have one utility company, so go through NIPSCO with pretty much everything. Water is always included. Depends on where you go. And rent was $8.30 for her. I remember one time I set up her NIPSCO with the budget plan, she was paying $54. She got a check for $1,300 a month. Her daughter got a check for $750.
Mm-hmm.
And their rent, and then I signed them up for food stamps for her, the handicapped daughter, and include the son, the unemployed son, and help the son get a job with my sisterhood company. And he just didn't want to work. He was lazy. He didn't want to do anything. And the job was consisting of him being in the home with his mom and his sister, taking care of them, getting a check. So whatever, when I wasn't there and I wasn't able to cover, he was getting paid for it regardless. And he just threw everything off on me. And his selfish ways, I feel like, is what made his mother pass. He bad drinking problem, bad drug problem, bad gambling problem. Only thought about himself. He was very selfish. He depended on the agencies to take care of his mother, bring her clothes, bring her food when she didn't have anymore, pay for the medicine. And this lady would have, she would think she had $500-$600 left over for getting her bills paid, and she had nothing to her name. Nothing. The son was over the money. Tell the siblings didn't care because they were mad at her for letting them stay there. And sure enough, I feel like the reason why she passed, and what broke my heart was, and I went off on the son, because they were getting a lean car and he could sell the lean. She was a sugar diabetic, and so now she's legally blind. Her sugars had dropped, and he didn't know the proper way to sustain her.
Mm-hmm.
Her sugars dropped. He would give her peanut butter. He would give her some other stuff. And give her insulin. You don't give insulin to a person whose sugars drop. You don't. You have to get the sugars back up before you stabilize it.
Right.
And that last time, he kept giving her peanut butter. But peanut butter stabilizes it once your sugars are back up.
Right.
It stabilizes. He would give it to her sugars one time, we're at a 30. And it was like, I just heard her snoring and she was sweating. And it was just so much. And he would do this. And I feel like because of his selfish ways, selling food stamps and stuff, his mother's health declined rapidly because she wasn't getting the proper nutrition food. He was only feeding her. She would get the mom's meals, his handicapped sister would get the mom's meals, and they would get the food stamps. And he would sell the food stamps and depend on the mom's meals, and he would only feed them three times a day. And the three times a day were little meals, like they might get cereal in the morning, they might get a snack in between, like a banana or a sandwich. And for dinner, they might get another peanut butter and jelly or a hot dog and some chips. So it was a lot.
Okay. Do you see a lot of cases of neglect?
Yes.
And are you a mandated reporter for those cases?
Meaning telling when it happens?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, I guess one of my last questions is going to be, what are some things that you wish your clients now and your future clients, what can we do to make it easier for you?
Just like they want a listening ear, or they might be going through something, give us that same courtesy and respect. We might just want you to be the listening ear. You know, don't think that everything is like all glitter and gold with us, or all these companies, they're just treating us great because they treat us like mess too, like garbage too. And so, like, from knowing how I don't like to feel when someone treats me like garbage, I would never want to treat someone else the same way. I do believe in you reaping what you sow. I just ask that so it's easier for both of us. Let's make it easier for each other. We can communicate, we can laugh. You know, it's still a job. I don't mind talking, I don't mind laughing. I don't even mind growing a relationship with you, but it's still a job, and I still want to do that job to the best of my abilities because you still need help. You still need me there. You still need the assistance. I need the job. So,
Right.
you know, I want to make it easier for everyone where it can just be a smooth ride. I don't want you to have any bad experiences because that one person can mess it up for everyone.
Right.
And that, you know, if some of my clients went, I have a wonderful, wonderful client. I don't even like calling her bad. I like calling her like my sister. She's wonderful. And just from hearing the past things that happened to her and the things that certain aides did and how they treated her, it makes you think like what the like and you wanted another aide after that? But you know, she like she said, she couldn't blame everyone and she treated everyone the way that she was treated, or she would be the world's biggest man jerk. But I'm glad that she was willing to open up and give another chance, because if I treated people the way that I was treated, I would be the world's biggest joke. And I give everyone the benefit of the doubt until you show me something different.
So you're basically a nurse, you're a social worker, you're a therapist, you're a counselor, you are a cook.
I'm like mommy, I'm like daddy, I'm like
Right.
sister, I'm like brother.
And you're also a companion to people. That's
Yes.
a really big part of your job, is to be a companion. So I guess my last question is, like, what is the ideal client? Like, what are some of the qualities of the ideal client that you would just love, 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 love?
And then the ideal clients, like saying the ideal men that I would just want to have. But you know, you take them as they come. You know, everyone is different. Everyone is different. Everyone believes in different things. Everyone sees differently. Everyone thinks differently. It's just, you know, the only ideal client that I could, that's reality for me, that I can think of, it's just communicate with me.
Okay.
Communicate on how you feel. Because that's the only way that we can get through it together. You communicate. Don't be afraid to tell me what you don't like, because I'm here. And if you don't like something, let me know so I can fix it and I can address it and put you in the comfort zone that you want to be in. Because I'm going to communicate with you if I don't like something, or if I feel like I was offended with some things, I'm going to communicate. So that's the only thing I ask, just the communication. That's the best thing in the world.
That's important. Now, I don't know if we made it clear to you, to the listeners, but Joya is my aide. She is here with me, I believe, what, 3 times a week, and she comes in, and I just fell in love with her. I know that you guys will fall in love with her. I'm thinking about adding Joya as a part of the podcast. We're going to have her as a recurring guest. So, I'd like to thank you, Joya, for taking your
No
time out
problem.
and doing the podcast today and giving the listeners a chance to understand like what it is that CNAs do. You guys are a really important part of people, of our lives, people with disabilities, people with chronic illnesses. I know I couldn't get along without you, and I know so many other people feel that way about their aides. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing?
One more thing I have to say. I hate, and I really do hate when someone bashes a CNA and
Right.
they call us ass wipers. We're
Oh,
so
yeah.
much more than that. And if you only took the new the new we might get the least amount of training in the field, 4 weeks, 6 weeks at the most. But we're there with your loved ones. Yes, I'll wipe your grandmother, I'll wipe your mother, I'll wipe you if you need the help. I'm here for you. I'm a listening ear. So we're all of us aren't trifling. And we know you a little bit better than the doctors and the nurses. You will give a person that makes way more money to us the utmost respect, and they barely see you,
That's right.
versus the person that makes a little bit of nothing and they come with a smile on their face, or they try to give you the best that they have, or whatever the case may be, and you wouldn't expect it for anything. Like, you know, I feel some type of way when that happens all the time.
Wow.
Especially on social media. That's why I just took myself off social media and I only have Instagram and Snapchat, because you see the post or trifling CNAs, or a CNA is this, or this is what a CNA looks like. But it's like, Jesus Christ, we know the patients more. Sometimes we know the patients more than the family.
Right.
Guess what? That CNA that you're talking bad about, you depend on that CNA to be there with your loved ones.
Right.
You know, you communicate with that CNA to know what's going on with your loved ones and you bash us. And, you know, it's just the two-headed thing. I don't like the people. You know, you have your, oh, I like the CNA. Oh, I don't like they trifle, they this. All, when you get mad, all they do is wipe an ass, this and that. But you have to start from somewhere.
Right. That's some, so true.
The doctor really don't give a damn about your loved one. They just worry about that check.
That's true.
The CNA is the one that comes in and asks, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What do you need? Let me clean you. Let me get your new bed. Make sure you don't have bed sores. If I assess your skin, see what's going on with you. I'm the one that looks to see if you're declining. I'm the one that pretty much, I report everything to the doctor. I'm there with you. I'm like a camera in the room that speaks.
That is a very poignant point that you just made. CNAs, they are so important to us. They're so important to our lives. There's so many of my listeners who can't even get out of the bed in the morning without you guys there. And if you don't show up, these guys, they stay, you know, these women, these men, these children, they stay in their beds all day long because they're unable to do the things for themselves that you guys are there for us. So if you have a CNA,
we get paid the least amount of money.
Yeah.
The least, and we get the most delegated tasks, outrageous tasks, and we get paid the least amount of money, and we're there the most. And we're there. And it's not even pretty much about the money at this point.
Right.
It's just give us the respect that we deserve, that we earn. Yeah, we might have paid, some places it's free, some places $650, some places $1,000, some $1,500. No matter what we paid, we still made it our business to get in and take care of your loved ones, or, you know, get that experience on our door. Some of us really just care. I really do care.
Right.
You know, my grandfather, he was sick, and when my grandfather passed, I was 18 years old. No, grandfather, in 2008. I was 18 years old, and if I would have seen, like right now what I know, if I would have seen that stuff going on then, I would never agree to let him go to a nursing home. Grandpa probably still be alive.
And remember, guys, CNAs are on the front line of our medical care. They are normally the first person that we go to when we're not feeling right, when you wake up in the morning, your CNA comes, whoever is coming to the door, that's the person that you're going to tell. She's going to call her boss. They in turn may send an RN or an LPN, and in that turn they're going to call your doctor, and then from there the doctor wants to see you. So they're always on the front line of our care, and it's important that we treat them with respect and the dignity that they deserve. And with that, I'd like to thank Joya for coming here today, being here with us. She's our very first guest here with the Mad Chronically Ill Girl podcast. And I will be wheeling off right now. I will talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye.